Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. We'll begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Military Memorial, Honoring Heroes. Families of fallen service members hang ornaments on CIRA holiday tree. Darren Funk, executive director of America's Gold Star Families, hung an ornament for his cousin, Corporal Benjamin DeSillitz of Elmwood, on Monday during the Fallen Heroes Tree of Honor ceremony at the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington. The 9th annual ceremony was sponsored by America's Gold Star Families and the Sergeant Anthony R. Maddox Memorial. The ornaments placed on the tree represent all branches of service, each carrying the name, rank, branch, and other details about the fallen service members they honor. Local government, Normal plans $15.7 million tax levy. $500,000 sparks talk of how money is used. The Normal Town Council approved preparation of a $15.7 million property tax levy Monday night, but only after a debate over whether $500,000 of it was a responsible use of taxpayer money. Discussion touched on the impact of taxes on housing affordability and whether $500,000 destined for the town's general fund was pork because it had no earmarked purpose. In the end, the council voted to amend the levy at the suggestion of council member Kevin McCarthy to assign the $500,000 to help pay the town's Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund obligation. The vote for the amendment was unanimous, with the absence of Councilmember Andy Byers. Councilmember Scott Preston was the only one to vote against the levy itself. The proposed 2025 property tax levy for taxes payable in 2026, which will come back to the council next month for a final vote, includes about $11.34 million for town government and $4.37 million for the Normal Public Library. The total represents a 4.78% increase over the $14.99 million 2024 levy for taxes payable in 2025. The increases break down to about 3% for the town's share and 9% for the library, but 8.5% growth in Normal's tax base is expected to reduce the overall tax rate. Of the town's share of the levy, all but $500,000 of the levy was earmarked for employee retirement, police and fire pensions, IMRF, Social Security, and Medicare. No council member objected to funding those obligations, but the other $500,000 drew objections from council members Kathleen Lorenz and Preston. Both argued that property tax increases need to be restrained because they are helping to push many people out of home ownership. We've really got to think about how we can dial back our burden that we're placing on the residents, and particularly homeowners in this community, Lorenz said, asking City Manager Pam Reese and Mayor Chris Coos to explain what the $500,000 would be used for. I feel like the $500,000, in simple terms, is pork, with no other explanation. Mr. Mayor, it is pork. Now, if you could tell me that it's going to be used for a ladder fire truck or for library improvements or something else more specific, then I can get behind it. When Coos asked Lorenz to define a pork project, she noted the outdoor fitness court proposed for Rosa Parks Commons, which she called a jungle gym for adults, and may cost normal $225,000. The council approved that project in the meeting, with Lorenz casting the sole dissenting vote. Reese said the $500,000 could be allocated, as the council directs, to a variety of uses, ranging from IMRF payments to curbside waste collection. Reese said allotting about $9 million of the levy to police and fire pensions keeps the town on track to 100% funding of those obligations by 2040. IMRF, Social Security, and Medicare are funded about 50% from the levy and 50% from the town's general fund, which is funded by other sources such as sales taxes. She noted the share of the levy used for purposes other than pension obligations has been scaled back over the years to ease the burden on property owners. As for the library's share of the levy increase, Finance Director Andrew Hune told the council the goal is to replenish the library's reserves, which were depleted by funding renovations completed this year without taking on debt. He said capital projects remain to be done at the library, such as heating, ventilation, and air conditioning upgrades, over the next 5 to 10 years. While the combined levy is going up, growth in the town's equalized assessed valuation, the total taxable value of property in the town, means the tax rate is expected to go down from $1.087 per $100 of equalized assessed valuation for 2024 to $1.047 per $100 for the 2025 levy. For a house with a market value of $210,000, the town and library's share of its property tax bill would go down from $761 to $733. But town officials note rising values would increase tax bills. The taxes on a $280,000 home, for example, may increase by $48, they said. Today's Flick Fact question. 88 years ago today, the Normal Theater in Uptown opened for the first time. If they'd charged the same admission prices as they did back on November 19, 1937, it'd be a pretty good deal. Do you know what the ticket prices were to see a movie at the Normal Theater back then? And the answer, it cost you a quarter if you wanted to be close to the screen, but only a dime if you were willing to sit in back or up in the balcony. From the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, November 19th, 1925, Dickens' Christmas Carol, to be presented by the Bloomington Consistory Players at the Scottish Rite Temple on December 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20, will be a dramatic extravaganza. The best talent in the district is included, and great effort has been expended to procure harmonizing and beautiful stage settings. 75 years ago, on November 19, 1950, Dr. J.C. Carter, tree disease specialist, reported Saturday 104 elm trees in Bloomington were infected with phloem necrosis this summer. Last year, it was 43 trees. 50 years ago, on November 19, 1975, the relationship of the Bloomington Normal Art Association to Withers Public Library proved to be a sticky subject for the library board on Tuesday. The Art Association has used Withers Russell Art Gallery for its meetings, art exhibits, and storage for more than 50 years. A new library building will change that relationship. The Art Association will be on the same level as other organizations. And 25 years ago today, November 19th, 2000, it takes a whole lot of love to take care of an iguana. A green-colored lizard named Lou has the run of a ranch house in Apollo Acres west of Bloomington. Her caretaker, Janie Phillips, a delivery truck driver for the Pantograph, said Lou is happy to be a spoiled queen with access to a window and a chair below a sun lamp. Phillips said she has fostered and rehomed five other unwanted iguanas who had to stay in their own enclosures so Lou could not hurt them. That's her house. She's the alpha female. Peorian faces gun and cannabis charges. A Peoria man has been released from McLean County custody on weapon and cannabis charges. Jalen D. Sanders, 24, is charged with armed violence, a Class X felony, aggravated unlawful possession of a weapon, a Class 4 felony, unlawful possession of 10 to 30 grams of cannabis with intent to deliver, a Class 4 felony, two counts of obstructing a peace officer, Class A misdemeanor. He also received a traffic citation for unlawful possession of cannabis by a passenger, according to court records. Sanders appeared Monday afternoon for his detention hearing before Judge Amy McFarland, during which First Assistant State's Attorney Brad Rigdon filed a petition to deny pretrial release, arguing the defendant posed a risk to the community that could not be mitigated by measures other than detention. Judge Don Knapp determined probable cause existed in Sanders' case when he appeared in court on Saturday, but Rigdon presented the probable cause statement Monday as part of his evidence for detention. A McLean County Sheriff's deputy made a traffic stop about 12:40 a.m. on Saturday in Normal after a driver had committed multiple traffic violations. Sanders was seated in the front passenger seat during the stop, according to the probable cause statement. Rigdon said the driver had failed to stop at the intersection of Kingsley Street and West Hovey Avenue and then failed to use a turn signal within 100 feet before turning onto South Adelaide Street. During the stop, the deputy noticed a strong odor of raw cannabis. The driver told the deputy he and Sanders had just left a party, Rigdon said. The deputy instructed Sanders and the driver to exit the vehicle with intention of conducting a search. As he got out, Sanders grabbed a backpack from the floorboard where he sat. The deputy told Sanders to leave the backpack, but he did not comply, Rigdon said. Sanders then began running from police. The deputy ran after him, ordering him to stop, but Sanders did not listen, according to the probable cause statement. He ran west on Strigel Court to a residential fence about 500 feet away from the intersection, scaled the fence, and fell to the ground. Police were then able to take him into custody. Police found the backpack, which the defendant had discarded. Inside, officers found an encased, loaded .38-caliber handgun, a baggie containing about 31.6 grams of cannabis, and 24 small baggies commonly used for packaging drugs for sale, Rigdon said. After his arrest, Sanders told police he ran because of the firearm and cannabis in his backpack, according to the probable cause statement. In arguing for release, Assistant Public Defender Stuart Wallace said Sanders is engaged in college coursework, works full-time, and lives with an elderly family member who relies on him. The defense attorney also noted Sanders has a firearm owner's identification card. Additionally, Wallace said Sanders had said the reason he ran from police was because he was scared and high on marijuana. Rigdon argued, regardless of the defendant's FOID card status, armed violence is a serious, non-probationable offense and shows Sanders was a danger to the community. The prosecutor also said Sanders had told pretrial services he had no history of drug abuse. If he's not a drug user, then he's a liar, Rigdon said, arguing he should not be released either way. Wallace disagreed, telling the court this is a young man who made a terrible judgment in error. McFarland ruled in favor of the defense and ordered that Sanders be released with the mandatory pretrial release conditions and the discretionary conditions not to consume or possess cannabis and not to possess a firearm, ammunition, or any other dangerous weapon. She also ordered Sanders to report to pretrial supervision. Sanders is scheduled for arraignment at 9 a.m. December 12th. Normal Town Council, park fitness site in works. Normal working on outdoor facility at Rosa Parks Commons. Normal is moving forward with plans to upgrade Rosa Parks Commons with a $285,000 outdoor fitness court. The town council voted on Monday to work with the National Fitness Campaign, or NFC, to develop circuit training space and a 38 by 38 foot outdoor classroom at the north end of the park on Robb Road next to Constitution Trail. Council member Kathleen Lorenz was the sole vote against the project, and Andy Byers was absent. It's a great package to promote fitness and well-being and active living, Parks and Recreation Director Doug Damery told the council, noting that 34 Illinois communities already have them, and 9 more are on the way. NFC is a nationwide program to fight obesity and improve the quality of life by developing exercise infrastructures, according to town documents. NFC has designed a functional fitness circuit training system featuring a series of full-body exercises that can be completed in just a few minutes. A town report on the project said adults of all ages and skill levels would be able to exercise using their own body weight on various pieces of stationary equipment with the help of optional apps. Plus, there would be space for Zumba, yoga, and other classes. The NFC awarded Normal a $60,000 seed money grant after qualifying the town through a feasibility study based on socioeconomic and demographic data. Damery said the town will pursue additional funding by applying for a 2026 Illinois Department of Natural Resources Open Land Acquisition and Development Grant. If that grant is approved, the project would come back to the council for final approval. No other funding sources, such as this grant, are secured. If no other funding sources, such as the grant, are secured, the town's share of the project would be $225,000, town documents said. Damrie said the town also is exploring sponsorship partners to help fund the project. The fitness court would be part of a bigger upgrade to Rosa Parks that would include a new restroom building, native plantings, trail enhancements, and replacements for the existing playground and picnic shelter. Much of the park would remain essentially undeveloped beyond playing fields because it is a water detention basin. A fitness court studio located in Rosa Parks Commons as a trailhead for Constitution Trail will create a unique destination space, whether walking, running, cycling, or driving to the site, town documents said. Loren said she thinks the project is unnecessary. "I appreciate you bringing forth an innovative and creative idea," Lorenz told Damrie. "Obviously, I made my opinions about it known a few moments ago." She had criticized the project as a jungle gym for adults during discussion about the town's property tax levy. "I don't see this as mission critical," she added. Calling walking one of the best things we can do for our bodies, Loren said improving Constitution Trail is a better use of resources. Council members asked about issues such as maintenance and liability. Damrie said maintenance would be minimal because there would be little moving equipment and it would be worked into the regular park inspection and repair regime. As for liability, he said the exercises would be limited to using one's own body weight on static installations, so the chances of injury would be small. The town's attorney said liability would be no more than the town faces with its existing parks. City of Bloomington Township, Skillrud, 496 got $67,000 in food aid. Almost 500 residents of the city of Bloomington Township who faced food insecurity as a result of the 46-day federal government shutdown received emergency support courtesy of a local food initiative. During a special meeting on November 3rd, the township board, whose trustees consist of Mayor Dan Brady and the Bloomington City Council, authorized up to $150,000 for the establishment of the Emergency Food Benefit Program. Township Supervisor Deb Skillrud said her office worked diligently to provide this service in anticipation of the loss of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits starting in November. Over the next 8 days, the township office handled phone and in-person screenings for 521 residents. A total of 496 family members across 217 eligible households received emergency food benefits totaling $67,400. The money was distributed through electronic benefits cards that could only be used at the Kroger's at 1502 North Main Street in Bloomington. "Our small but dedicated team worked early mornings through lunch hours and late into the evening to meet the needs of our community," Skillrud said in a news release. Their commitment meant that every eligible household with complete documentation received assistance without delay. The program closed following the Illinois Department of Human Services announcement on Thursday that SNAP benefits would be restored. At the close of the program, 49 applications remained pending because of incomplete documentation, and 9 applications were held pending resolution of discrepancies with the IDHC. For more information on City of Bloomington Township's general assistance and other relief programs, you can call the Township Office at 309-434-2730. Together we can. The Pantograph Good Fellow Fund provides food to the hungry, sustenance to the elderly, and Christmas cheer to struggling families. The Pantograph Good Fellow Fund helps our local community and is funded solely by generous people like you. Please make your tax-deductible gift today. No gift is too big or too small. You can mail or deliver your donation to Good Fellow Fund, P.O. Box 680, Bloomington, Illinois, 61702. You can also follow them on Facebook at facebook.com/Pantograph Good Fellow Fund. The Baby Folds Festival of Trees, Illinois' largest holiday celebration, will take place November 20th through the 22nd at the Interstate Center, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. There will be a holiday vendor market, gingerbread village, silent auction, hundreds of Christmas trees and holiday decor, kids' crafts and face painting, Santa, free parking, baked goods, coffee, and cookie shops. Tickets are on sale now. This is a family-friendly event. Visit festoftrees.org to make your ticket purchase. Bloomington's 5-day forecast, it will be cloudy today with little or no sunshine, average relative humidity of 90%, and a high temperature of 49 degrees. Tonight will be overcast with average relative humidity of 95% and a low temperature of 41 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be cloudy with a touch of rain, little or no sunshine, a 55% chance of precipitation, average relative humidity of 95%, and temperatures between 54 and 44 degrees. Friday will be similar with occasional rain and drizzle, temperatures between 52 and 36 degrees. Fortunately, it will be mostly sunny on Saturday. Temperatures are again expected between 52 and 36 degrees, and on Sunday there should be brilliant sunshine, temperatures a bit warmer with a high of 56 and a low of 38 degrees. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, November 19th, 2025. Please stay tuned.